do not do. Let's look here at Psalms chapter number 1. And the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this class. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you for the people that are visiting. Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say, and Lord, help this to be an encouragement. Help it to remind us of some things that we probably already knew, but maybe implementing some more things and saying, showing us some areas where we could help that we need work on and help in. Lord, speak to people's hearts today. I pray that this be a time of encouragement, a time of just growing in the Lord and understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Simply put, the Bible's going to tell us there are certain things that a blessed person will do and certain things that a blessed person will not do. And we see the first verse, it says, "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." This is one of the main things we're going to look at. But that's the things he doesn't do. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That's what he does do. And so when we come to this spot, it's a simple lesson. You know me, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but it's a simple principle. You know, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, if you want to be godly, you know what? This is what we're not going to do, and this is what we're going to do. Let's look here. What's some of the things they do not do? The practice of the blessed man. Things he does not do. And you see in verse number 1, he does not get the ungodly. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Simply put, he doesn't get it. There's a regression here. You see walking, you see standing, you see sitting, you see how it just continues to go down. And I want you to get this, understand, counsel is fine, but the wrong counsel is wrong. It starts with right here. You can't take counsel from those that are ungodly. Who is an ungodly person? It's a person who simply leaves God out. They don't put God in their thinking. They don't thank God for the things they have. They don't, in the morning time, they don't seek God for wisdom, and they don't ask God for things. And the Bible saying here is, look, if you're going to be a happy or a blessed person, you're just not going to get counsel from an ungodly person. You're not going to listen to someone who is not putting God into the equation. And the Bible says, For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Good counsel is fine, but certainly not counsel of the ungodly. We are supposed to walk by faith, the Bible tells us, and listening to the counsel of the ungodly is not walking by faith. You know, but who is the ungodly? It's someone who can live their lives without thinking that God's in existence. It's a person who can walk around and just say, "I don't even consider God when it comes to my life." Now, here's a sad and scary thing when it comes to it. You know, there's some Christians that can act ungodly. There's some Christians that can say, you know, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know what I'm supposed to do. But this area of my life, I'm going to keep God out. You know, it's sad because, you know, we don't want to get counsel from those people. But they're Christians. They're believers. Here's some things I use when I try to understand counseling when it comes to things that helps me a little bit. Maybe it'll help you some. If you're under some type of good, godly authority, if you can trust your pastor or, you know, different things like that, I look for people who I want to be like. You know, people who are like Christ. If I'm going to look for counsel about my family and how to raise my kids, I'm not going to go to the person that has kids that aren't living for God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we can't learn from other people, but I'm just saying I know there are some people when it comes to raising their children, they put God in the equation. They look at the Bible, they say, God tells me I'm supposed to do it this way, Sometimes it may be difficult. Sometimes it may be hard. Sometimes it may be tough. But I'm going to stick as close to what the Word of God says as I can. And if I look at who to get husband and wife counsel from, I'm going to look at people that are going to go according to the Bible. Now, there might be some people that are married for 40, 50, 60 years. That is recommend. You can learn some things about that. But sometimes when they get the 50 or 60 years, they're not treating each other the right way. You're wondering how they made it the 40, the 50, the 60 years. You're like, did he really say that? Did she really say that? It's the truth. But it's they're not putting God in their equation. They've gotten so old that they believe whatever I want to say, whatever I want to do, it's okay. That's not the people we want to get counsel from. Say, Pastor, I can't go ask somebody who's been married 6 years. You can learn a lot from them. But how to treat your husband and wife, they can take you the wrong way too. I'm not going to ask, no one should come to me and ask counsel about your how to fix your car. Right, Wesley? That's right. Do you really want me to answer that? Okay. So, it's somebody who, it's this idea here with counsel. It's ungodly. Have I taken God out of the equation? You know, when it comes to church, you know, what church you go to, or how you're supposed to serve at church, or how you're supposed to forgive someone, or how you're supposed to act. If somebody takes God out of the equation, those are not the people we want to get our counsel from. So just be careful. And the Lord can lead you. Hopefully you have godly leaders in your life, and hopefully you have a husband or a wife that you guys can work together at and enjoy one another, and that we put God in every area of our life. But it's like David going to talk to Saul. David had to go to Saul because Saul was the king of the time. But Saul here, he was too scared to fight Goliath. I mean, he didn't want to fight Goliath. Saul was the one that was taller than anybody else when he became king. And when assuming he's still the tallest man, David went to Saul, told Saul he was willing to fight, and Saul tried to give him advice, even though Saul was too afraid to do it himself. And this is where we got to be careful at. Sometimes people that are doing it wrong love to give advice to others to try to pull them back to where they are. They like to take scripture and they like to misconstrue it, and they like to say, hear this and hear that. You know, if you're going to be happy, you're going to be blessed, if you're going to be godly, we're going to try to get counsel from someone who is godly. You say, Pastor, I don't know anybody's marriage that I like to... It's in the Bible, though. It's there. You can learn it. There's scripture. It's nice to have friends. It's nice to have fellowship. It's nice to have people you look to. But there's sometimes when you're going to have to just say, maybe I'm going to be the one that's going to charter this area. I'm going to do things the way I think is right and according to scripture says. And maybe someday in the future, someone will come to me, and God has trained me and made me ready. So the first thing is, you know, if you really, truly want to be happy and blessed, because you can find somebody who disagree with you. I mean, agree with you. You can find somebody to agree with you that your husband is taxing, your husband is annoying. You should not listen to him because you can find another wife that's going to tell you that was right. And, you know, it's okay not to. And then you can find some husbands that are going to agree with you. Yes, your wife is too impossible to love. You know, my wife's the same way. We can start a club that way. I mean, you can start clubs. You can start clubs with people that are discontented about a church. She's like, yeah, this is what church is supposed to be about. And this is what we're going to, and then you can start clubs on ungodly advice. And unfortunately, I know this scripture is probably mostly referring to someone who is not a Christian, because you're going to see the downward progression. But I think it's important that we remember this counsel when it comes to those that are believers. Let's make sure we're seeking wise counsel, godly counsel. Not just people who are our friends and they've been our friends for 10 or 15 or 20 years, but you know, maybe they have had marital trouble all those years. That's not the person you want to go to. That's a person you can be a friend with. That's somebody you can help support. But, you know, if they've taken God out of the equation when it comes to marriage, raising their family, church, worship, work, giving, you know, all those different things, that's not the individual you want to get your counsel from if you want to be a happy person or a blessed person. Let's think of the next thing. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So it's not a person who stands with sinners. You know, it's you know, you're there, you're walking by, and you're talking to somebody. Oh, what do you think I should do about this? Or do I really need to listen to my boss? Or do I really need to do this in my family? Do I really need to give? And this, but it stops then. Instead of just walking, you actually stand there with them, and you begin conversing even at a greater rate. The ungodly counsel, now we find him standing in the way of sinner. Now, what is a sinner? I think it's a great way to describe a sinner is a person who misses the mark. Person that they know what God's will is, and they have chosen to miss the mark. They don't quite live the way they should. The person scripture describes him this way. There's a man which seemeth right unto, there's a way, excuse me, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of their, are the ways of death. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the eyes of the Lord, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Now the sinner may think he is all right, but if he's a sinner, he's not all right. He's not, I mean, he could be sincerely a sinner, and they think that there's right because in his own mind, in his own eyes, they have said, this is okay. But if they have missed the mark of what God is trying to tell them to do, saved or unsaved, that's not a person you want to stand with all the time. That's not a person. Can you fellowship with them to an extent? Can you try to help bring them to Christ, or can you try to help restore them? Yes. But is it a person that you want to invest and spend and make that person your confidant, that person you get your counsel from? Because that's what I'm saying. You know, be careful. He's not, if you're going to be a blessed person, a happy person, you're not going to be a person who is going to get your counsel from them. This is not a person that you're going to sit there and stand with and just, that's who you're going to choose to spend your time and your moments with. Because the Bible tells us, you know, we're going to become like who we spend time with. And so here's the thought here. The sinner may think he's all right, but he's a sinner. Of course he's going to think he's all right. It's not until they get really, really bad in sin that they're just going to say, you know what, I need to change things. If a person thinks that they're okay, they don't have a problem trying to convince you they're okay. I was knocking doors yesterday with a group and went up and I had a couple really nice visits. And I knocked on the door and I went up to a guy and we talked for a minute and he was nice enough. I could tell he wasn't really interested, but he was kind enough to open the door and we talked for a minute. And I asked him, I said, it says, do you go to church anywhere? And that's just one of the ways. I wasn't trying to be pressing to him. It was probably the last thing I was going to say to him unless he seemed like he was interested. He said, I do not. He said, but that's okay. In his mind, it was okay for him not to go to church. And I said, you know, I never had somebody say, hey, it's okay for me not to go to church. And I said, well, obviously, I told my pastor's church, obviously I think church is important. But, you know, your soul was more important than anything. And we had given him some literature. I says, I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but there's some literature there that can tell you about your soul. Church is important. But in his mindset, you know, it was okay. I didn't go to church. And in some people's mindset, it's okay that we don't live like God. You know, the ungodly. See, the ungodly, the person that does not put God into their equation, they become the sinner. They become the person who misses the mark. Because they haven't put God in the equation. They are doing sin knowingly sometimes, and sometimes even unknowingly, that they know what they're doing is wrong. Because sometimes people are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he would abundantly pardon. So what is we're supposed to do with those who are sinners? We're supposed to encourage them to forsake their ways. Now, I'm just telling you that if the Bible says that if you're going to be happy, here's the practice. First thing is, you're not going to get counsel from the ungodly. Secondly, you're not going to stand with sinners. Thirdly, you're not going to sit with the scornful. You know, you see it going, you know, you're walking by, you're listening, you become casual friends, you get some advice from them, you begin to listen to them, then they get you to stand with them, then they sit down, and you become one of the scorners. The Bible says here, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. The next progression is sitting down in the seat of scornful. What is a scornful person? I think this is a person who is maybe similar to an atheist, a person who denies God, and someone who exhibits a hatred of God. And we see this everywhere. You see it, when they mock the religion, when they mock God, when they mock Christ. And it's amazing what cartoons that they can do. You know, they, you know, people get really mad when they make fun of Muhammad, but they've been making fun of Jesus Christ for how long? I mean, it's just mockery what they do, and that these are what scorners are, and it, this is the progression that's going to happen. If you start listening to ungodly people, people who take God out of the picture, and you start hanging around with sinners, the people who are just knowingly doing wrong, you're going to end up here. You're going to become a scorner. And I think here in this idea of scorners, when you look at it, it's a person who is opposed to God. You know, there are people out there, he says, well, you don't think that people should be able to read the Bible in public schools? And it's gotten him to a step farther. You know, no longer can the teacher read it to a class, but now they don't even want to let the kids read it in their own reading time. They can read whatever garbage they want that has sex and violence and all this stuff out, but you know, somebody break open a King James Bible, you can't do that. That's offending the guy sitting in the back of the classroom that can't even see it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why is that? Because we have scorners here. There are scorners in this world. And you say, I would never get like that. If you begin listening to the counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says you're going to progress. This is not me. This is simple. Like I said, you're progressing. You're stopping. And sooner or later, you're going to be sitting. And you say, so how do we do this from the scripture side? If a person's a Christian, then obviously they're saved. I've met some Christians that are scorners too. Maybe they believe in God, but they've taken God out of the equation to where they can start scorning about things that happen at church or about the leadership of the church or about, you know, they become antagonistic. What's the word scorn mean? To have extreme contempt. And the sad thing is I've met people who have extreme contempt when it comes to even things about the church or God. It's amazing how many times liberals have become, and it's hard to say because the people that are not liberals are not acting the way they should either, but how they scorn some of the things that we hold dear. You know, they scorn the Bible. They scorn the Word of God. They scorn holy living. They scorn just because somebody thinks differently than they do. They become a scorner. You say, I would never be that. And the Bible says it starts over here by starting to listen to people who've taken God out of the picture, hanging out with those sinners. Pretty soon you're going to be sitting and listening to the scorning. Okay, so we see the practice, we see the things he does not do, now we see the things he does do. And this is the part I struggle with. I don't think I have too much problem up here. Obviously, I'm sure that I hear advice from certain people, and it is always good to get to somebody to agree with you when you're wrong because it makes you feel better, but that's just it's just wrong. But this is the area, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, so he goes as far as saying, look, he actually delights in the Bible. I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe, but some people think reading the Bible is a chore. I've done that before. I don't know about you, but I got to read my Bible. Not when I'm right, not when I'm happy, not when I'm blessed. Not when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When I'm happy and I'm blessed, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. There's the delight there. The word delight means great pleasure. Something that pleases you greatly. This person actually finds joy in the Word of God. If we could get one message across to ourselves and to the next generation, the Bible is a thrilling book. It's not a burden. It is a privilege to have a Bible in your hand. You would not know how many people in other countries would love to have the Word of God. It's illegal there. They take a page and they memorize it and they pass it around. And you know, it's a privilege to have the Word of God. It is a real delight to read and study the Word of God. The Bible said, blessed is the man, happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Today, the tragedy that has come to man, the sighing, the groaning, the heartache and the heartbreak, the broken homes, the ruin and wrecked lives, they're a result of people breaking the laws of God. They are a result of just people doing things contrary to the Word of God, and this is why we're in such a mess. The Bible even says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. A happy person, a blessed person is going to get to the spot where he actually likes to read the law of God, who he actually likes to say, okay, this is God's word, this is God's book, I want to hear what it has to say because that's what I want to do, because I want God to tell me what he wants me to do. Sometimes people say, I wish God would just tell me what he wants me to do. He's told us a whole big bunch. Let's do what we know to do what's right. Sometimes when we think about things such as separated living and what we're supposed to say and maybe what we're supposed to wear and all those things, people don't like to even talk about that. It's found in the Bible. It's found in the book. And as it's found in the book, some people say, oh, those things are grievous. You're messing up Christianity. You're messing up the church. You're messing up what grace is all about. His commandments are not grievous to us. This is something that we say, we hear. If this is what God wants me to do, then I should embrace it. It's not something that, man, I gotta love my wife today. I gotta listen to my husband. I gotta treat those kids with respect. You know, we want the other side of it. Those commands are not grievous to a person that's blessed. Those commands are not grievous to a person that's happy because he is actually delighting in God's word. Not only does he delight in God's word, and I think about this for a second. What do you delight in? You know, I see your faces sometimes when you see this grandkids coming running up. You delight in them. That's a good thing. That's good. They're not grievous. You know, I've even seen some people willing, grandparents that are willing to change diapers and are happy about it. Sit there. Ooh, yeah, look at that. That was a good one. You know, like it's because they delight in the word of God. So it's the idea. It's, you know, what do we delight in? Oh, there's a good law. That's something we need to do. That's something I need to try. And that's, you know, it makes him happy. That you read Psalms 119. David's ecstatic. Man, give me more of the laws. God, explain more to me what you want me to do. You know, these things are cleansing me. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. These things are cleansing me. These things are bringing me closer to you. Lord, I want to hear more. And that's not the response of most of us. That's not the response of me many times. I like to try to figure out the other way. You know, I want to do what's right. I want to listen. But do I delight? And, you know, meditating on the word of God is what makes you delight on it. It says meditation on God's word. God has no plan or program which by you are to grow and develop as a believer apart from his word. It's not there. You have to be able to have, the word of God has to be a part of it. You can become busy as a termite in a church and probably do the same thing that the termite does, hurt the church. But you're not going to grow apart from God's word. You need God's word. Meditation, you know, I'm not somebody who's experienced with cows, but we've all probably heard that before about that meditation, chewing on the cuds and how there's different compartments in the stomach and how they'll eat the grass in the morning time. They'll swallow it and then they'll bring it back up and chew it on for a little while longer and they'll swallow it again. They'll chew on it again. That's the idea here, what we're supposed to do with the word of God. You take it in the morning, you take it with you, and you chew on the things you've heard today. You listen to it. That's why we're trying to implement one verse that you can take with you throughout the week. Why is that? Because I want you to chew on it. I want you to swallow it. I want you to memorize it. But throughout the week, I want you to apply that to my life. Yeah, I don't think this can happen. But you know what? God says he's able to do things that are exceedingly abundant, exceeding abundantly above what we ask and think. So it's the Bible says in James 1, it says, For he beholdeth himself as and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of what he is. It's talking about taking a look into the perfect law of liberty, is that you take the word of God and you listen to it. That's great. But in James it says that, you know, it has this idea of a mirror, that if you look in the mirror and you leave without fixing anything or not thinking about, hey, I need to change that, it's not going to help you at all to look in the mirror. You know, sometimes some of you in the morning probably don't look the prettiest. I know I don't. I have a bunch of calyx in my hair. When the morning time, my hair is all this. I mean, it's out there. That's why I have a pile down of hairspray, because if not, it would be. But if I went in the morning time and got up and looked in the mirror and said, oh, yes, I need to fix my hair, and then walked away and didn't do anything about it, I might as well not look in the mirror. Same thing with the word of God. It's, you know, we need to look into the word of God. Let it change us, you know. Not being a forgetful hearer, but being a doer of the work and the word. We're going to look at the next thing is the power of the blessed man, the power of the blessed man. And I think this is found when you go to, down to verse number 3, you begin to hear a description here. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. where does it get the power from? And I believe it's found here in verse number 3. It's at the beginning. It says, by the rivers of water. What is the rivers of water in reference to? I think it's in reference to the Word of God. A number of times we hear the Word of God as reference to the water. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And it says, so shall my word, it's a comparison, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, where is our power found at? It's found in the Word of God. A blessed person is going to rely on what the Word of God says. If you go back and you read Jesus' sayings, you know, when he talks to his disciples, he doesn't go to them, look, I'm smarter than you are. We're going to go ahead and go to Jerusalem because I told you. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm going because this is the will of my Father. This is according to His will. He always based it off with the Word of God from. That's where he drew his strength from. Obviously, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and because of that, we can see how God can work in our hearts in our midst. And the last one here is the permanency of the blessed man. And I think it's important to understand that you see that his position, he is planted. I like that. It says that he shall be like a tree planted. Now, if you go out to my yard, I don't think anybody planted those trees. I think they were wild grown. But I'm talking about a tree that has been planted by the rivers of water. It means that they have been established, they have been set down, and they have planted themselves by the Word of God. If you ever flew above an orchard, many times you'll see there are perfect rows. Somebody planted it that way. It was a purpose. And it's a person who's going to be blessed is a person who is going to be planted. By his position is going to be by the river. He is, his prominence, it's a tree. Most of us would know a tree being prominent. Sometimes it's not going anywhere unless you have that hurricanes. His permanence, he's planted there. His productivity, he brings forth fruit. A blessed man is someone who is going to bring forth fruit. Now, once again, maybe we won't see as many people saved as we like to, but we can always be bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit. Also, his predictability in his season. This is in God's time, in God's way. You know, let God do the work. Just be as close to God as you can. His perpetuity, leaf shall not fade. He's there. He's not going anywhere. It's permanent. His prosperity, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. He said, boy, I wish that could be me. Well, that's what the Bible's saying here as the blessed man. Does that mean everything you're going to do is going to turn to gold? No, it means that God can use everything in your life to be a blessing to someone else or to help somebody else. Paul, obviously, when he went into the temples and people threw him out, not everybody got saved every single time. No, that's not what we're talking about here. But it's saying that the things that God gives you to do, God will cause you to prosper in it. Here's the last thought, I thought this was kind of interesting and kind of like to leave this with you. Are you a godly person? Because you go to verse number 4, what does this say? The ungodly are not so. There's a comparison there. I know we use the word blessed and we use the word happy, but let's actually boil it down to us. I think if we went around the room, well, maybe not, in our own hearts, we probably have thought, I'm a godly person. I go to what I believe is the right type of church. I where what the right type of things I think are. I say the right things. I don't go and do this, and I do this, so I must be godly. But if you look at what the scripture says here, who's godly? I think it's saying here, you know, the person that is not going to sit in the council of the ungodly, that's somebody who's probably godly. Someone who's not going to stand in the way of sinners, yeah, that's probably somebody who's godly. Somebody who's not going to sit in the seat of the scorned for, that's somebody who's ungodly, because it says, the ungodly are not so. That means that the godly are supposed to be this way. So in our lives, we like to think we're godly, but do we really delight in the law of the Lord? And when I'm saying this to you, I'm speaking to me too. I'm thinking, man, I probably have more time to read my Bible than most people do. And sometimes I have to use words, man, I have to study. It's Saturday afternoon, it's 1 o'clock, and I got 12 hours of studying to do, and you know, Sunday morning at 9:45 comes pretty quickly. I gotta get up. You know, it should be, man, I get to study. I get to get in the Word of God. I get to do these things. I delight in it. I mean, maybe we don't have all the time we like to have, but the things we delight in, we're gonna make time for those things. But not only do I delight in it, I actually meditate in it. If we say, do I meditate? Well, according to the scripture here, am I godly? What does that have to do with being godly? Well, the ungodly is not going to do those things. A godly person is going to be a person who is planted by the Bible and the Word of God. A godly person is going to be a person that's bringing forth fruit. And in God's time, we don't want to try to mass produce something. We don't want to produce something that's fake. There's too much of that. Too many people have turned away from churches because of that. But as someone who's not going to wither, is not going to give up, is not going to go, is not going to leave just because something doesn't go their way. But they're going to be prosperous. They're going to see God working, and they're going to see God moving in what he has given them to do. So I thought the best way is, because I know you say, are you blessed? Oh, of course I'm blessed. I got a house. I got some kids. I got some grandkids. And, you know, I got a mate. I got a dog. I got a car. I got a boat. I don't know what it is that you got, but I am blessed because of my possessions. And then I says, no, that's not what it's talking about here pretty much. It's talking about being happy. Well, then, yeah, of course I'm happy, Pastor. It'd be wrong for me to be sad. Well, then let's take a next step. Are we godly? Because a person who is blessed, a person who can put a sign out there, I am blessed, is usually found by a person that is godly. Now, I've seen people write signs and have on their license plates, I'm blessed. I hope they really truly mean that, or in their house and their thing. But am I godly? Because that kind of speaks to our heart here. Because the Bible says a godly person is going to be one who doesn't walk, who doesn't listen, who doesn't sit, but instead someone who reads, not just reads, enjoys reading, someone who actually says, I'm going to think about the things that I read. And at nighttime, that's what I'm going to be thinking about when I go to bed. Today, are we godly people? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help in our